Chapter 2. The Sleepover, Not Job.
Irene was enjoying their annual sleepover. Not that they ever did much sleeping. She was wearing her soft cotton, and then Lizzie Bennet got Borden on his zombie ass t-shirt. Her little pied-à-terre was decorated in P&P paraphernalia. When she'd been 11, she'd fallen in love with the cleverest Omega ever, and Irene was going to be her if she ever grew up. She had Gross Point Blank playing on the TV. Sherlock, smelling of wintry storms, was curled up next to her with his head propped against her puffy green Godzilla slippers. She brushed out 3 strands of hair and wove another neat, tight braid. Sherlock was quiet. It wasn't one of his steel-wool fugues where he wouldn't talk for days until she bitch-slapped his brooding alpha ass. It wasn't one of his thinking quiets that weren't really all that quiet at all, when Irene could see the wheels of his mind milling the facts into... Actually, Irene didn't know the first thing about milling, but it involved wheels and grain and things getting turned into bread. She finished the braid and tied it off with a pink skull ribbon. She started on the next one. This was a more put-your-arms-around-your-knees-and-kiss-your-ass-goodbye kind of quiet. Irene could hear Dad's voice saying that as she braided Sherlock's hair. Out of nowhere, he said, "I think I've pair-bonded." He opened his eyes and looked up at her gravely. And no one else in the world would have said what he did next. "You did that, and he was him. How do I know? I can tell a software developer by the tie that he doesn't wear, and a stock trader by the one he does. How do I tell if he's the one? How did you know?" "Oh, you mean how did I know with the fuckwad?" Irene Rictus grinned. There was only 4 people in the world that would have known it was a Rictus grin. One of them was fuckwad. One of them thought he was a highly functioning sociopath, and was looking at her incredibly earnestly with most of his hair in tiny, tiny braids with pink bows. One of them was herself, and she wasn't looking in a mirror. One of them wasn't the sort to be in this sort of conversation for a whole host of reasons. Is he all you think about? Does every fiber of you long to go where he is? Does it ache because you're not with him right now? Sherlock nodded solemnly. Then you're basically fucked. She finished the last braid. She put some rum in his cocoa. He took it.
He drank when he was being Johann Sigerson. He drank when he was being Captain Basil. He drank when he was being not Sherlock. Irene was worried now. What happened?
Sherlock sat up. He rested his head against his knees. Braids were sticking out at all angles. "Molly has the security tape. Mycroft already gave me a critique. It was on the Illustrated Violet job. You were doing your thing." He waved his hand to indicate her own quarterly nature heat bitch slap. "When I was stealing back Father's painting that we auctioned to Gruner, there was something else we could use that I should have seen. It's implied on the tape. And I want to see this tape because..." Irene sipped her rummy cocoa. Sherlock was silent. She finished her mug. She considered making a "where's all the rum gone" joke. But Sherlock was many things, but a rum joke person he was not. She held up Sherlock's options. He was still quiet. She decided on Omega Passion Pink, while in the background Martin Blank declared that loading his gun was breathing. She'd finished his feat when Sherlock said, "He was in heat, and we had a great deal of very dangerously positioned sex. I liked it a great deal." "Oh," she flipped a braid out of his eyes and stabbed it in place with a Hello Skull Kitty clip. "My baby's popped his cherry." "I wasn't a virgin. We... His eyes drifted away. Yeah, yeah. We shared a one true pair bonding, who turned out to be a manipulative bastard who fucked us both over and tried to kill us, in an overly complicated way. She drank more cocoa. I could have dealt with being shot, but burning our hearts out? She put a tiny skull decal on his right big toe. Who does that? She opted for a rainbow on his left toe. I deal by bitterly plotting to burn and salt the earth upon which he walks. Her lips twisted. I could forgive his pride if he had not mortified mine. She eyed her empty cocoa. She poured in more rum. You've deleted the whole thing, which you've got to tell me how you do that. Then there was the aftermath and your brother's fuck-up. Sherlock sneered a very impressive sneer. Boring. It was his own fault. If he'd listened to Mother, he never would have gone into government in the first place. Irene was so not going there. I wouldn't call Mycroft boring. Scary, terrifying, immovable object to Sherlock's unstoppable force. What did that make Irene? Elizabeth Bennet with an axe. But he's not what he once was. She smiled. No one is. She raised her rum mug. We really are perfect together. She gave him a kiss and resumed her toast. To fuckwad. May he rot in the hell we put him in. She took a sip. Their phones beeped. Irene's text read, Hey, sexy. Happy anniversary. She slid her finger over the face of the phone. Hey, sexy was fuckwad's tagline from his reality show. One of his shows. Sherlock's message was a little different. It was much the same. Anniversaries of burning out hearts. She said, What do you have for me? Sherlock held out the most beautiful Savile Row suit that ever savelled its way into the world. She traded him it for a slinky little beaded red number. When he put it on, she said, I resent the fact that you have better legs than I do. He shrugged because he was completely aware of what he looked like and had been taught by experts to use it like a machete. It had about as much precision. Still, Irene looked amazing in the suit. They went for a walk. It wasn't a job. They were merely playing. They picked pockets and replaced them in embarrassing locations. They practiced sleight of hand, acrobatics on fountains. Irene sold the Palace of the Popes in Avignon to the tourists. 3 times. Scattered the coins of grift in strange places. They went back to Irene's place and got naked, not for the reasons everyone always assumed. It just made it easier to fall about on the floor and make murder outlines. She put the grifters on. She had more rum.
As she traced his highly inventive dead angel pose, she couldn't help but look at her poor cherry-pop Sherlock's penis. She really didn't envy his omega. That had to hurt like a bitch to have that thing shoved up in. She wasn't being heteronormative. He'd said heat, which meant an omega.
She realized that when she was looking at Sherlock through one eye, with the other screwed shut, that was generally a sign that she'd had one rum too many. She closed both eyes. She said, Love you. He didn't say it back, because he was a highly functioning sociopath. Their relationship was about accepting the little things. In the morning, she knew where the rum went. She didn't regret it. That's why the sweet Omega goddess in the sky invented ibuprofen. She'd resolved early in life never to regret anything and always to have a clever answer. She wasn't Lizzie Bennet. She was Dorothy Parker, which meant she had a hangover. She put on really big sunglasses. Sherlock bounced around her apartment. While she'd been sleeping, he'd found Dr. John Watson's MSF record, printed a copy of his ID to grin at, and basically cyberstalked the poor bitch. She loved Sherlock like 1,000 burning nuns, but seriously, she'd have to be hit in the head with a very large hammer to bond with him. Hopefully, for the good of all of them, Dr. John Watson had been the victim of horrible head trauma. She took 2 more aspirin. Sherlock was running an experiment with cans, which would possibly result in making John Watson out of tin. He was spouting facts about Dr. John Watson. He was Scottish. He'd been shot defending children. He was the cure for cancer. Irene left him in mid-beautification and called her dad. She was good. She was busy. Her Pomeranians were giving her hell. Irene got caught up on her latest checkup. Not a trace of cancer cells. Booyah. She went out. She walked down the road in its eternal ripped-up street construction state to Hudson's. An English cafe in southern France made about as much sense as tits on an alpha cow. She sent her dad a text thanking her for that mental image. Her dad answered back, smiley face. She went in the back door at Hudson's. Ms. Hudson was an old friend of the Holmes mater, the legend of whom, well, the Gloria Scott was still spoken of in odd tones in certain quarters. In more recent history, Sherlock had helped Ms. Hudson after Mr. Hudson had disappeared. Irene would never be able to forget Ms. Hudson in her frumpy blue dress saying, "The key, dearie, is to cover the body in ham fat. Otherwise, the alligators won't even take a little nip from the body. Or is it crocodiles? I can never quite remember. Biscuit?" That cookie had been amazing, which was why, although Hudson's had alternative means of income, the place always had a steady stream of customers. Miss Hudson, smelling like safety, was chopping up a carrot very rapidly and with extreme precision. "Oh, hello. Mr. M is upstairs taking gentilhomme callers." She pulled a tray of cookies out of the oven. "Just this once. I've made a little something extra for the occasion. I'm not your cook, you know." Irene knew Ms. Hudson's game. Sweet old Alpha with her meat cleaver precision. Ms. Hudson had been through the wars. Irene could respect that. Never turn her back on her, but she could respect that. She took the cookies. Irene was American. She was in France. She was not calling them biscuits. She went upstairs to the Leverage Inc. offices, munching on a chocolate chip delicious. Mycroft, subtle scent of a movable object, did actually have a collar. A gentleman Omega with white gloves, smelling like don't trust him, who had an overly inflated idea of his own provenance and genius. Clay was currently whining at the altar of Mycroft. "He takes a 50% cut of every job. It's not right. I spent 6 months digging a tunnel, and I had to work in a pawn shop. I was in trade. 6 months of my blisters, and he took half the take." Mycroft was doing his Sphinx thing, which, well, Irene was a C9 on the Kinsey Matrix enough to want to crack a bullwhip over his reserve. One bastard OTPB was enough in a lifetime. John Clay was making a whiny bitch of himself. Her head hurt. She really wanted a glass of water. She wanted more aspirin. Too much rum made Irene a very sad girl. Mycroft smiled into his tea. "You could just fail to pay him his cut, if it bothers you so much." Clay was 7 kinds of bitter and 8 kinds of useless, and end up arrested by the thief-taker general on BBC One? I think not. Mr. My grandfather was a duke sniffed. "Moriarty has us all coming and going, but I hear you're working on something of your own. I'd like to get in on that. At least you're English." That wasn't what he wanted in on. Clay was so into the Holmes genes he could have tattooed it on his forehead. But with Mycroft and Omega, that left only Sherlock for the poor, repressed Fauntleroy. Mycroft flicked his eyes at her. Irene smiled her real person smile. She smiled for all the world to see, because the world was filled with morons. She walked her fingers along Clay's shoulder. "Hello, John. Wouldn't that be awkward if John Watson and John Clay met? Come to join the Omega team? We have the best toys." Clay, who just couldn't accept that he was an E-79 in the Kinsey Matrix, winced away from her. Then he looked behind her and actually did a double take. She looked. Sherlock had swanned in while still wearing his pretty pink braids. Also, he was still wearing her dress. His legs were amazing, bitch. Irene decided to play. She kissed Sherlock. There was tongue. Not that it mattered. Muscle organs fencing. God, she loved having a him in her life. As someone who got her. Screw all the rest. But Clay, like most people, thought she and Sherlock were involved. Well, they were involved, just not that sort of involved. Well, there was the matter of tongues. Irene curled into Sherlock's lap for good measure. Clay fled like a Victorian virgin in a Hammer movie. Irene slid to her feet. She really liked this suit. Sherlock bounced off, presumably to continue cyberstalking with Molly's superior equipment. Irene smiled at Mycroft. Mycroft smiled at Irene. They did a tea ceremony. No one slit open their guts with a sharp blade. It was hard to tell how tea with Mycroft would go. Irene did not take off her sunglasses. She had no reason to give the advantage. She said, "Our Sherlock is in love." Mycroft sighed. He was Atlas. He was not shrugging. He was taking on the rest of the solar system on his shoulders. "I know. I've seen the surveillance footage." He sounded incredibly resigned. She supposed being a Holmes was like that, with the Clays of the world paying homage to the aristocracy of their kind. They drank tea. Sherlock wandered back. John hadn't a single secret in his poor, misbegotten life. Poor bitch. With one Holmes intent and the other watching, and fuckwad waiting in the wings. Normally she paid attention when Mycroft prepped them, but seriously, she so knew where the rum had gone. She could have said that to Molly. Ever lonely scented Alpha Molly understood rum jokes. She also understood and made a great many cultural references to a great many things that Irene had never heard of. Currently, she was in preparation for her yearly annual pilgrimage to San Diego, where she would avoid the sun religiously and lay herself at the altar of all things geekish. As Mycroft went on, Molly whispered to Irene, "But this week is San Diego Comic-Con. I had to get in line at 3 a.m. four nights in a row to get those tickets." Irene tongued a tooth on the side of her mouth. It was sharp where love once chipped it. "I don't think that will work as an argument with Mycroft." "Oh, I know. He'll say, 'Miss Hooper, we shall certainly attempt to arrange our operation so as not to interfere with your schedule,' and then I'll cry." "Then perhaps you should try a different approach." Really, Molly had to be led by the hand sometimes when it came to interpersonal relationships. Molly lifted her brave little alpha chin and widened her eyes. Oh, I can work the op while standing in line. I'll just boost the signal on Bessie Two's Wi-Fi. It'll be smooth and sweatless." She bounced in her seat. But she was so sweet. Irene was not looking forward to sitting through her pictures of people sitting at tables in dark rooms, but if it made Molly happy, that was what was important.
That and destroying her one true love. And Omega had to have her priorities,